Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today we're following up on a program from last time. We spent a lot of time talking about a lot of the basics of food and wine, a lot of cookbooks that are favorites. And we want to kind of go down the, to use a cliche, the rabbit hole of France. and chase a lot of the classic dishes and classic wines from certain regions, maybe sort of holy grail dishes of some of the different regions of France. And the program is going to culminate in the last segment of having Anne Willen on the program, one of Cindy's personal heroes.
Very excited she's going to be with us today.
Fabulous cookbook author.
She's amazing, an amazing woman, and has achieved so much in her life. So it's going to be such a gift to get to speak with her today.
So we're gonna start with Cindy's list of most exciting sort of classic regional things, maybe more cuisine grand-mère, grandma cooking kind of French dishes. So what's tops on your list, then?
I think absolutely the braised dishes. So you have coq au vin and bœuf bourlaise and or bœuf bourguignon, and that ties in beautifully with wine because they're both wine dishes.
Well, they're all from wine regions. So coq au vin, and I'm just going to hit you up for the
basics.
The basics of braising something like coq au vin is braising chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's a bourguignon dish. So take me through coq au vin.
All right. So it was originally made from an old male, so the rooster, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. And because, they worked hard and they were usually old, literally were old, they were tough. So therefore, we have to braise it. It's going to be something that you're going to have to be. In those days, you would have had to have been very mindful of how much liquid you had in your cooking vessel because it would have been dry. So you would probably add something with fat, like back fat or bacon and or pork belly, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, mirepoix, carrot, celery, and onion in this case. And you're
so
going.
The basic steps. Since people are not using old roosters these days, if they want to make coq au vin, they're going to go and find what sort of a chicken.
I would suggest just a larger chicken, maybe a 4-pound chicken. Something that's going to feed a good amount of people. It's worth your time to take the time to braise it. You'll end up with a good amount of product, and obviously, you want to buy the best chicken you can buy. We have something. Something's happened with the way that they process chickens in our country now, where they do it's called air chilling, and if you can find an air chilled bird, they're really much almost. Cleaner
it's much
tasting.
Cleaner.
Yeah, I can't think of a better word. They're cleaner tasting. Typically, they would wash the chickens through baths of water and the cooling process after slaughter. And, this is an air-cooled method. And it just, the taste is much better. So look for an air-chilled chicken and, whatever, if you can find something local, if you can find something that, has good color in the skin, that has a little bit of fat, and good feeling, and it smells good, buy it. And you break it down into all of its parts. And of course, the beautiful thing is you're left with the rib cage and the carcass, and that means you can make a great stock. So I would break it down and make my stock. Now, sometimes they marinate the chicken first. And you know what? Why not do that? Because you're going to have to make your stock first, unless you already have some.
So this is really a 2-day thing where you're taking the breast and the wings off the off the carcass. You're taking the legs off the carcass, and you're using the rest of the carcass to make the stock the first day.
Yeah, and you know what? There's so little meat on the wings. I would throw the wings in with the stock. It'll just give it a little bit more flavor. And it's just not worth the pan size and everything to use the wings. So throw that in your stock. You make a beautiful brown stock where you brown your chicken bones first. You then cool them down, put them in a pot with cold water. Cold water allows fat and impurities to rise to the top of the stock as it cooks. Mirepoix, again, carrot, celery, and onion, a little bit of aromatics, bay leaf, thyme, peppercorn. And that's all I put in a stock. And the only thing I put in a stock is things in good condition. So I would never put the peeling of the onion in or the root of the onion or the root of the carrot because there's dirt in the root of a carrot. Why put the peeling? Some chefs would use kind of everything. And I believe in only clean product going into a stock. You have a better stock that way.
So you're running your stock for a couple of hours the day before. The chicken that you've broken into parts, haven't deboned but broken into parts and that still have their skin, You're going to marinate them or season them with what?
I would put a tiny bit of salt. You don't want to over-salt it because you're going to have a long cook time.
You don't want to cure it.
Yeah, and you actually may not want to put salt on it at all just out of fear. So let's forget the salt part. Pretend I didn't say that. A little bit of peppercorn, maybe bay leaf, and a little bit of dried thyme and a touch of wine. And, let it sit. And then it's going to be ready. You're going to sear it the next day in a pan. You need a large-bottomed pan, heavy pan, so that you have large surface on which to sear your meat. And
heavy bottom iron, or like mm-hmm. a Le Creuset, or one mm-hmm. of the ceramic-coated iron.
Exactly.
Sort of giant skillets.
Exactly. And brown your meat, and then begin to add your mirepoix, the carrot, celery, and onion. Deglaze, which is the action of adding any liquid to the pan. So we're going to add wine.
If you think of the Bourguignon dish, it's usually a red wine.
Mm-hmm.
The Alsace version of the dish is Coco Riesling.
Yeah, which is great. Well, and that's great to know. You know, you could go either way.
Yeah, you really can, and it's great to go wine-wise in either direction with the dishes.
Mm, yeah, the Riesling sounds so good as the Burgundy.
There's a difference. Usually, like the tougher the chicken, like in Alsace, they usually use young birds. And the Riesling is much more delicate in flavor, and it just has good acidity, and it makes for a brighter dish.
Mm-hmm.
In Burgundy, I mean, you hear winemakers, one winemaker's grandmother telling me they would use the lees, which are literally the dead yeast cells in the marinade for the chicken the day before.
That's a pretty big secret. You just let out a huge secret.
Slightly a terrifying one when you realize that you're marinating chicken with dead yeast cells. But.
And then you add your stock, and again, some aromatics. Pretty much the same thing you put in the stock, a little bit of bay leaf, thyme, and peppercorn. And you can do that in a sachet, what we call a sachet, which is a little bit of cheesecloth tied up with twine. You put the herbs in there, then you're not going to have to go digging around, pulling out whole black peppercorns that nobody wants to eat when the dish is done.
Yeah, no.
And that is a beautiful dish, and the chicken should be really tender, but still holding together. You don't want to overcook it, but you're going to get to the point where it's so tender and it smells so good, you're going to know it's done.
It should be falling off the bone.
Yeah, should be falling off the bone.
Things I can think of that people have done wrong when I've had this dish before. One, when they go to brown the chicken, they don't have enough fat in the pan when they go to brown the chicken.
Yeah, that would be bad.
And the pan is smoking hot. And they burn the skin,
which gives
a burn flavor. Even when you add this, it doesn't matter. Once something has a burn flavor, the burn flavor is going to carry through the sauce and everything else.
It's going to ruin the sauce. So you want to look for golden brown.
Yeah, nice and brown. But that's one easy mistake. The other one is to be too conservative with the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of actually browning the chicken, you're just rendering the fat out of the skin.
Or you're steaming the chicken.
Yeah, and you're steaming, exactly. And
yeah, that's why I say you need a wide-bottom pan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bigger the pan. You don't ever want
to... The pan has to be big enough.
Well, that's it. That's the whole thing. You never want to overcrowd a pan. When you're trying to brown something, it makes common sense if you think about it. If you put too much product on the surface area cools down too quickly, and therefore you can't brown, and you end up boiling or steaming. And that is not what you want to do. You want to develop color and flavor, and you do so by having that meat just barely cover the work surface of the pan, and the pan has to be hot enough, and as you said, it has to have enough oil in it. Corn oil is what I would use, by the way.
Something that can handle the heat.
Yeah, neutral high
extra virgin
flash point.
Olive oil or something.
That's
or,
a yeah, waste. That's... It would be a tremendous waste of extra virgin olive oil. I'd have to come to your kitchen and talk to you if you used extra virgin olive oil too.
I think you may get some emails
something.
About that. if you make a mistake and you need Cindy to come to your kitchen and talk to you,
no.
It's email us at foremanwolf@wypr.org. Or you can just send us questions. But mostly, if you want Cindy to come to your kitchen
questions.
And talk to you when you make a mistake.
Yeah, just email
it's
me.
It's foremanwolf right. at wypr.org.
Tweet me, please.
The garnishes for coq au vin, because you see a lot of different things. And how creative does someone want to get or not get? If you're actually going to be true to the classic, what would the garnishes be?
Bacon, mushrooms, and pearl onion.
So, and just a word about...
Button mushrooms.
A word about garnishes. Garnishes don't mean put anything on a plate and put a big sprig of parsley on the side of the plate, and that's the garnish,
no.
right?
No. Well, with this dish, the mushroom, all of these things, the bacon, and I noticed, just kind of going back through Paul Bocuse's book on regional French cooking and seeing, his restaurant is in Lyon. A lot of the recipes for that area are using fatback or pork belly and, to flavor the dish. So it is. That's one of the garnishes. The mushrooms are definitely just button mushrooms. You don't need something exotic for this dish. It's just not necessary. Keep your chanterelles and your seps, excuse me, would be the French word
French
for porcini,
for
which is the Italian word. You know, keep those for another dish. This is, as you say, this is cuisine grand mer. You're using very simple everyday ingredients, and you're feeding a whole bunch of people in an inexpensive way, which is fantastic.
It just means, you know, grandma buys cheap and is a good cook, right?
So she also goes to market and tears up the butcher. Because she knows what's up.
And she knows how to get the best chicken.
Yeah, she knows how to get the best chicken. She's probably taking back in the day, she would have been taking the chicken home, possibly even live. Well, can you imagine that?
I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, my father's Aunt Mary. Yeah. My sister still tells stories about going to visit my father's Aunt Mary. You know, that they would have to chop the chicken's head off before dinner. And she couldn't really handle that. But you know what? That's just because she didn't grow up that way.
So wine with this dish. If you want to stay with, essentially, it's regional poor people's food from France, just thoughtfully and carefully cooked.
Yes.
Then if you're doing the Bourguignon version, the richer the sauce, it's funny, because if you're having the dish in Gevrey Chambertin, the richer the sauce, you know, the wine's powerful there. They tend to make the sauce very reduced and very rich, and they serve a richer red wine with it. But it's just like a village. It's not some crazy...
Right.
It's not a Grand Cru or something like that. Or it could just be a Pastoud Grand, which is actually Pinot Noir and Gamay from poor soils in Burgundy that's just like fat and juicy. If you have this dish further south in Beaujolais, the sauce is less reduced. But it'll have more garnishes, more bacon, and that, and more bacon, more onions, more sort
hearty.
Of like vulgar sort of a, you know, flavor components.
Hearty, rustic,
and tend to go with the wines from there. In Alsace, like I said, it ends up being a prettier dish, just less sauce. Period. More delicately cooked, and is great with a Grand Cru Riesling. It's probably the noblest in that area that I've had that particular dish. Any other tips about coq au vin? Because it's something, honestly, it's something anyone should be able to do well at
home. I think
home.
We already said the most important things, which is browning the chicken correctly, having a beautiful stock to make it with, and, you know, just cooking it until it's tender, not overcooking it, not undercooking it, and you're going to know when you put, you know, when you go to taste the chicken, you're going to know if you like it or not. It's that simple. And then you may have to reduce the sauce down a little bit. That's the only other thing. It just depends on how long it actually does. You know, say it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You may want to pull the meat out, clean up the sauce a little bit, and reduce it. But otherwise, it's really a simple dish to make. It just takes some time and effort. And it smells, your house is going to smell great. It's a great dish for a Sunday afternoon.
As long as you don't burn the chicken skin.
Well, yes. Okay. Yeah. As long as you don't make a mistake, everything will be great. You know,
like I said about mistakes, you can email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org, if Cindy needs to come to your house and correct something that you did wrong.
Okay, let's talk about oofs on Murat.
When we come back in the next segment, we'll talk about a few other classic bistro dishes on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.